Good to be back in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Together again. It's definitely good to be feeling better than I was 2.5 weeks ago.
Amen.
I've had many conversations with people at work and different people on the phone, especially today, and people asking me, what was it like? Was it as bad as what they say? I said, it's the worst sickness I've ever endured.
Yeah.
It's one thing when you get the flu and you 3 or 4 days into it and you start to feel better. But when you go 7 days and you're hitting 10 days and nothing's changing, I don't know about anybody else. I felt like I was under attack.
Yeah. Amen.
Spiritually under attack.
Yeah.
The first 2 days you lay there and you pray.
Yeah.
And it just felt like my prayers were going nowhere. You need your faith in God, because through those trials, through those tests, you don't always hear from God. You don't always feel his presence. You don't always know that he's there.
Right.
But it's like that footprints poem.
Right.
And you say, God, where were you in this?
Yeah.
And he says, then I was carrying you.
Right.
And I believe that that's the case. I believe that God did have his hand upon us every step of the way.
Amen.
But I was feeling like Job.
Yeah.
I was thinking, God, you give and you take away. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to bless your name. But where are you?
Right.
So that being said, I have been sharing my experience with people, and people have been appreciating the fact that I'm telling them how it was. And people saying, I talked to one guy this afternoon. He said, I've heard lots of people getting sick, and I've heard of all this, and you see the media and everything else. He goes, I haven't actually known or talked to anybody that's actually had COVID. So he appreciated me sharing what my experience was, and he had the same viewpoint, or his family has the same viewpoint about the vaccine as what I had, and still have. I'm not sure where I stand right now, but I still believe that it's a personal choice. I'm going to love you whether you have the vaccine. I'm going to love you if you don't have the vaccine. And I hope that others do the same. But anyway, we'll get into our message tonight. We'll turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to start there reading at verse number 1. It says, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him.
Amen.
For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, tonight for being in this house with us. I thank you for your hand being upon this church through the trial that we've had to endure, that you've had your hand upon every saint, those in every situation, God. We give you praise. We give you glory always, O Lord, for all that you do for this church and for these saints, God. We lift you up and I ask tonight that you would anoint my mind, that you would give me strength tonight, God, to deliver this message, Lord, which you have given me. Bless all that are here tonight. Give them ears to hear and those that are listening online. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. You may be seated. I tonight, along with most of you, am on the slow road to recovery from probably the worst sickness I've ever experienced. Even though this sickness has a 99%+ recovery rate, I will not stand before you tonight and tell you that through this trial that I was not considering my own mortality. So often people talk about things that they want to accomplish in life. Learning certain skills, traveling to certain places, maybe bungee jumping or skydiving or maybe even snorkeling off the coral reef. All of these things are what they put on, and I'm sure we've heard the term before, their bucket list. Things that I would like to accomplish before I die. Things that I need to get done, things that I need to do in order to really say that I've lived and accomplished something. And as I considered my own mortality, all I can tell you tonight is what I experienced and the thoughts that I had. I didn't think, I've never been to the Grand Canyon. I didn't think, well, I've never been to Disneyland or anywhere outside of Western North America. That wasn't a thought that crossed my mind.
Right.
I wasn't lamenting the things that I had or had not done in my life. I didn't think, well, I've missed out on so many different things that I should have got accomplished when I was younger or because I needed to do this before I died. I didn't think, well, I've never ridden a Harley or driven a Ferrari. I've never jumped from an airplane or tried mountaineering. The only thoughts that I was thinking as I sat and consulted Dr. Google for COVID symptoms, wondering if my chest was hurting or if my breathing was too shallow. The only thought that consumed my mind was, I hope if this is my time, that my family will be okay without me. But mostly what went through my mind is, am I okay with God?
Amen.
Right.
Am I ready to go? Have I done enough for God? What will he say on that day when I stand before him? As I laid there considering my situation and laying there wondering where God was, why it didn't seem like he was listening to my prayers, why it didn't seem like I was getting better day after day after day, as my head pounded with this consuming headache and I saw no sight or end to this journey that I was on, those are the thoughts that went through my mind. Am I really ready? If he should decide to call me home through this. Tonight, I would like to speak to you for just a little while, and I can pretty much assure you that I definitely won't be long-winded because I don't have a lot of wind these days. But my title tonight is Determining What is Important. Determining what is important. If we can have a look in our Bibles, the book of Genesis, chapter 28. We're going to have a look at what should be a very familiar person in the Bible, in a period of his life. Genesis chapter 28. We're going to begin reading there at verse number 10. It says, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and of the God of Isaac, the land where upon thou liest, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all the places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again unto this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. If you were to read back a few chapters in your Bible, back to the early days of Jacob's life, you would see a very different picture of that man named Jacob.
Right.
Jacob's name means supplanter, one who trips up or overthrows another. Tries to get what they've got, tries to take what they have, and that's exactly what Jacob did. He was a man who lived up to his name. If you would read a little bit before this in your Bible, you will read where Esau was complaining that twice Jacob supplanted him. The first time we know of was when Esau came back from hunting and he was famished and felt like he was starving to death, and Jacob had made a pot of pottage or porridge or whatever it was that he had made in that day, and he had it there and was cooking away, and Esau came up and said that he was faint and that he was going to die, and Jacob merely took advantage of a situation and said, I'll give you some of this food, but you need to sell me your birthright. Jacob was considering one thing and one thing only, and that was his advantage.
Right.
Then later, as he followed in his mother's advice, he deceived his father Isaac from the blessing that should have fallen on Esau as the firstborn. So twice he had overtaken what should have been Esau's and used it to his advantage to obtain something that should not have been his. He used his name, and through this whole time, in the beginning of the story, Jacob was a man who thought about and only lived for himself.
Right.
But then we find a twist in his story as Jacob's father sent him away, which was to his blessing because Esau wanted to kill him. But Jacob was now sent to Padan-Aram, to his uncle's home, because of his father's wish and to flee the wrath of Esau. He leaves home and he goes where he's instructed to go. And it's in this journey that we find this passage, as he's going to his uncle's home and he stops for the night and he has this dream. It's in this passage that we join the story of Jacob, that he appears now to be a changed man.
Right.
One who has maybe reflected on the events of his life and has had regrets. As he gets to this point in his life and he's leaving his home and he's going where his father had instructed him and he's doing the things he needs to do now, maybe he began to reflect on how he treated his brother, how he took advantage of his hunger and bought that birthright from him. And he reflected back on the fact that through his mother's advice that he would go unto his father and deceive his own father, making him think that he was his brother.
Come on.
Taking away that blessing that should not have been his. And maybe it's through this time, and maybe that's why he felt that it was such a dreadful place that he would find himself in, that God would be in this dream with him, and that he was at the gates of heaven, and suddenly he's a changed man, and he begins to realize that I need to know what is important in my life.
Come on.
I'd like to take note of verses 20 and 21 of Genesis chapter 28. It says, and Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. I find it interesting that we read here, it says, and if he will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on.
Right.
Jacob, through his early life, when he was only thinking about himself, when he was only thinking about his advantage, when he was only thinking about what is going to better his life, to find him in this point in time that he says, if God will just give me bread to eat, if he'll just keep me nourished, if he'll just supply my needs, if he'll just give me clothing to put on. He wasn't speaking about if God will give me riches.
No.
And if God will bless me mightily through my journey, if God will give me abundantly what I need, over and above what I need. He wasn't in that way. He wasn't thinking that way. But he says, if he will give me just bread to eat and clothing to put on my body, and the second part, if he will give me reconciliation.
Come on.
If he will allow me to one day be able to return home, but not just to return home, but be able to return to my father's house in peace. It was in this transition that you can see Jacob really determining what is important in life. It's not getting ahead. It's not having advantage over somebody else, but it's living a life of peace and harmony. What's the scripture that we've studied so many times and we know so well? Follow peace with all men.
Right.
And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. He began to understand that I need to live in peace. I need to be able to come back to my father's house. I need to be able to have that reconciliation in order to be able to know that my life has been fulfilled, and to really know that God has had his hand upon me.
Right.
He wasn't looking for God to make him rich and that he would serve him. He wasn't seeking great favor and he would serve him, but just supply my needs, God, and bring me to reconciliation, and then shall the Lord be my God.
Right.
As we go through the Bible, as you read story after story, there's so many men and women in the Bible that you can see this transition taking place. Those that were used mightily of God were ones that might have been living a certain way or doing a certain thing and seeking for themselves. And then that transition happens and they determine what was important in their life. And suddenly God changes things and God steps into the picture and God sets their feet upon a path that allows them to do great things for God, that allows them to get that redemption. Jonah was one who was called to go to the city of Nineveh, to go to preach to them and tell them to repent. But he chose to go his own path. He chose to step away from God's will. He chose to go the path that he thought was better for him.
Come on.
Until God stepped into the picture and God becalmed that ship, and they determined that it was Jonah that was the one that was the cause of their troubles and cast him overboard. After he spent 3 days in the belly of that fish and was spit back out onto the shore, Jonah realized in that time what is important. I need to serve God. I need to do what God's asking me to do. I need to follow after him, and I need to go where it is that he wants me to go.
Amen.
We look at Peter's life. Just a fisherman. Jesus comes along and chooses him and 11 others to come and serve with him and follow after him and learn from him. And God is there with him and teaching them and showing them the way. But through all his earnestness and through all his zealousness to want to be there for Jesus, he's still the man who would deny being a follower when he was questioned. He was still the man that would deny being one of the ones that had walked with Jesus for that 3.5 years, that was there when all the miracles were wrought, that was there to see all the wonder-working power that Jesus did when he was on this earth. To he would deny the fact that he would have even been a part of that group of men. And after he listened to that rooster crow, suddenly he became a changed man.
Right.
Suddenly he determined that it's not about me. It's not about what others are thinking about me, but it's about what Jesus put into my life. It's about what he instilled in me and what he's asked me to do and what he's called my life to become.
Right.
And in that time, as he determined what was important, his life was changed, and he stepped out in a boldness, and he went into that upper room with the 119 other people that were in that room, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He walked out of that room with a holy boldness and said, I'm going to do what Jesus asked me to do. I'm not going to deny him anymore. I'm not going to turn my back on him anymore, but I'm going to do what it is I've been called to do. I'm going to do what it is that he took me. He reached down and grabbed just a fisherman off the side of the sea that was just doing his everyday job and said, I want you and I choose you. And he's now stepping up to the plate and doing what it was that he was called to do.
Amen.
Paul was another one who was overly zealous for God, thinking that he was doing the right thing, thinking that he was doing what God had called him to do. He began to persecute the Christians and began to take them and cast them into jail and to began to beat them and began to murder them and take their lives away and taking away the fathers and maybe mothers and the children of those that were serving God, that were calling themselves Christians. And until God got a hold of him on that road to Damascus, until God revealed to him who he was and that what he was doing. And what he was doing was not what he was called to do.
Right.
And then Paul gave everything.
Amen.
Read his pedigree. Read what he had endured, being starved and shipwrecked and beaten and whipped and chained and imprisoned and all the different things that he had to endure. And never once did he waver.
Right.
But he kept on that course. No matter what you do to me, I'm going to stay on this course. No matter what happens in my life, I'm going to stay on this course. No matter what you throw at me, I'm going to stay on this course. And I am going to do what is important, which is the work of the Lord. How many of our lives were dysfunctional, messed up before God intervened in one way or another?
Come on.
Walking a path that only mattered, what could we get out of life? What's in it for me? I know in my life, I lived my life for my pleasure. For what I wanted.
Come on.
Doing what I wanted, doing what felt good, doing what I, anything that I wanted to do is what I did. Mm-hmm. But then Jesus stepped into the picture.
Right.
And Jesus picked me up out of the miry clay. Jesus set my feet upon a rock.
Right.
I think that 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says it so well. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and starting at verse number 9. It says, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11 says, and such were some of you. But you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
Amen.
I want to throw something into verse number 11. Such for some of you, before you determined what was important.
Come on.
No longer is it about your wants.
Yeah.
No longer is it about your wishes. No longer is it about what your desires are for your life. But he took you from being all of these different things that we've just read, fornicators and adulterers and idolaters and effeminate. I'm sure that most of us here can identify with more than one of these before Jesus got into our lives. But then we determined that stuff isn't important anymore. But God is important, and having Jesus in my life is important.
Right.
I've been even more in the last 2.5 weeks determining what is important to me. Being able to ride a Harley isn't important.
No.
Seeing the Grand Canyon isn't important. Making heaven my home, hearing those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That is what's important. That's what needs to be our number one priority in this life. That's where we need to make that determination that says, that is my goal. That is going to be my end.
Amen.
The second half of the passage that we opened up with tonight in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to go back and I want to start there reading at verse number 6. Since therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. While we are here on this earth, while we are in this mortal flesh,
right.
Yes, we have the Holy Ghost. We have God lived dwelling on the inside, but we are still absent from God. We are not with God right now.
Right.
That spirit resides in here, but we want to be there. Our spirit with his spirit in heaven. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. That scripture speaks to me for this 2.5 weeks, as I said earlier, under spiritual attack, feeling like God is not there. We need to be walking by faith, knowing that when we don't feel him, when we don't see him, when we don't experience his voice speaking to us, when we don't know, when we feel like it's just chalk dust going up into the air, we need to know by faith that God is there with us,
right.
That God is keeping us, and God is walking with us. Verse 8 says, we are confident, I say, and willing, rather, to be absent from the body and be present from the Lord. Each and every one of us every day should be saying, I know where I'm going.
Right.
Amen.
I know that when I am absent from this body, that I am going to be present with God. It says, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, that we may be accepted of him.
Amen.
We work now. We labor now every day. Because we are absent from him.
Amen.
We need to work so that when we are with him, whether we're present with him or absent from him, that we will be accepted of him. And verse number 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. There's not a single person on this earth that is going to be able to withstand or not be able to, that is not going to appear before that judgment seat of Christ.
That's right.
Whether people say, I believe or I don't believe, guess what, honey? You're going to meet him one day.
Yeah.
You might say you don't believe now, but you will when you're standing before him.
Right. That's good.
We all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I believe it's even more crucial for the Christian to have and to maintain what is important in your life.
Right.
Your bucket list isn't important. The places that you've traveled and the corners of this earth that you have seen, they're not important. The car that you drive, the clothes that you wear, and how many likes you receive on social media, they're not important.
Amen.
They might seem like they matter in the moment, but in the space and the span and time of eternity, none of that is important.
That's right.
Living a life reconciled under Christ, living a life in his service. We just read the passage says, what is done in this body? Good or bad?
Yeah.
We will give an account for it.
Right.
The things that we do are important. The things that we do for Christ are eternally important. When we do things that are bad when we're in this body, we're going to receive judgment. It's the things that we're doing. We don't earn our salvation through the things that we do. Witnessing to people, talking to people, sharing with people, helping people, those things we do not earn our salvation through.
Amen.
That's just service to our God. Those things are what's important. As Sister Z comes tonight, and as we stand together, if you're able, I'm not sure how many of you have taken time through this sickness to truly reflect. Maybe you have, and maybe you have not. But I'd like to take a few minutes for us to just talk to God and let Him tell you what He thinks is important in your life. We need to make a determination, church. I know that this has opened my eyes to the fact that we love to feel God. We love to come together and worship together and feel His presence and feel the power of the Holy Ghost coming down upon us. But we need to determine that when we're, whatever situation we're in, this world isn't getting any better. It's definitely not going to be getting any better for the Christian. For those that truly believe and truly live for God, this is just the beginning. A gentleman I was talking to just before I left work, I was sharing my story with. We were talking about the vaccine, and I said, at this point, I said, this whole vaccine passport, I said, it doesn't matter to me. If I can't go into Boston Pizza or to a sit-down restaurant and have a meal, I don't care. It doesn't matter. It's nothing to me. I said, but if they get to the point where they start taking away our essential services. Well, you need to have the passport to go to the grocery store. You need to have the passport to go and get whatever you need that is essential for living. I said, then it's going to become important. He says, well, that's the mark of the beast kind of stuff. I said, exactly. We're not there yet, church. But now is the time. We can't wait until we're under that pressure. We can't wait till we're under that gun. Now is the time that we need to determine what is important.
Right.
We need to determine that our life lived for God, in service to our God, not worrying about what the world thinks of us, not worrying about what those outside think of us, what we're doing, but we need to have our focus. We need to have our direction. We need to say right now that I'm going to determine in my heart that I'm going to make it into the end. That whether my time is today, whether my time is tomorrow, whether my time is in 5 years from now, that when He calls me home, that I can know with an assurance beyond a shadow of a doubt that I know what He's going to say to me.
Jesus.
I don't want to be laying in bed going, am I right with God? Have I done things that are against Him? Am I harboring bitterness in my heart? Am I harboring unforgiveness in my heart? Is there anything, God, that's standing in the way? Because I don't know what God thinks of a deathbed confession. And I don't want to find out. I want to know I'm ready.
Right.
And when that time comes that I know, I don't want to wonder. I don't want to be scared going, am I going to make it? If this is it, where am I going to go? I want to know in my heart that heaven is going to be my home. Church, let's take a few minutes and just talk to God and make that determination tonight of what's important in your life.